particular question. Many of you are going to go to various family places here in a couple, 3 weeks, and you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, aren't you? And the question I have for you today is, are you blessed? We're going to thoroughly discuss this question today. Are you blessed? Do you sometimes feel that you're not blessed? What does it mean to you to be blessed? If I were to ask you if you are blessed, what would you say? Well, yes, I am blessed. I have a roof over my head. I have good health. We have enough food. But, well, the other side could be, well, I'm in a trial right now. Lost my job. So I don't feel so blessed right now. This is usually our first reaction in how we answer this question, isn't it? Are you blessed? There are different kinds of blessings for different situations. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, our whole chapter is devoted to blessings and cursings. For national blessings and cursings for Israel. You know, as human beings, it's very easy for us to think of blessings this way. And certainly they are. I don't want to minimize God blessing us with good health, with all the blessings of a good job, a great family. These are all certainly blessings from God. But if you didn't have any of those things in your life, would you still be blessed? You know, it's easy for us to focus on the physical. And when we have all those things and being that we're blessed and everything's okay, we think of ourselves then as blessed. You know, are we grateful? Why should we always be thankful? What is the foundation of our gratitude? We need to understand that no matter what life throws at us, whether it's poverty, sickness, relationship problems, work problems, persecution even, there is one constant that is always true, and that is that we are always, every second of every day, blessed. So what I want to do today is we're going to go through some of the scriptural basis for what I'm saying here, because we can become blind to our true blessings. We can focus on that trial, we can focus on materialism, we can let our minds and hearts lose track of God, and what God has already given to us as blessings and what he has promised to give to us. You know, blessings are a gift from God. Our very life was given to us. And as Job states, God holds our life in his hand. We can compare ourselves with others, and it's easy sometimes to feel that we come up short. I know because we have a very young audience here today, I'm sure it can be frustrating sometimes. You want a family, you want a good job, you want to have a spouse that you fall in love with, and it just hasn't happened yet. I guess the question I have for you is, are you blessed? And obviously us who are older, we can have health issues. Are we still blessed? You know, the blessings that really count are spiritual and they are eternal. Let's turn with me to James 1, verse 17. We'll start this, talk about this topic of blessings. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know, all blessings, all good gifts come from God. Today what I want to do is focus on some of these eternal spiritual blessings. My purpose is to give you an overview of God's perspective on blessings, because we're going to come across a verse, and that whole verse could expand into an entire message. Can't do that here today. What I want to do is just to go with you and have you come with me on an overview of God's perspective on blessings, what they are, and how important it is to him for us to have a proper perspective and understand them. So, about half of the scriptures we're going to turn to today are in the Beatitudes. Where else should we start? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. It's Christ's first recorded sermon. I mean, it would appear there are other sermons that he's had or messages that he had before this, but it's his first recorded sermon that we have here in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. I want you to focus on what was the first topic. What did Christ want to tell us in Matthew chapter 5 in terms of his first recorded sermon? What did he want to tell us? What perspective did Christ want his audience to have? What was the spiritual priority and frame of reference, the foundation for the rest of the message of the Beatitudes? What was most important work of God's Spirit working in us did? What did Christ want to see in us as his today, as his brethren? What does Christ want to see in you and me? The perspective was of God. The perspective was of his kingdom, our part in that kingdom, and the attributes that his sons and daughters are to learn and grow in, all in relation to what? Blessings. So let's start with verse 1, Matthew 5, verse 1. We'll read through verse 3. Matthew 5, verse 1 through 3. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, most people wouldn't think that that was a blessing, but I want to make sure that we leave here today understanding that all these things that we're talking about here are truly blessings. If God's Spirit is working through us, we've been led by God's Spirit, if we're becoming every day more and more like Jesus Christ, then these attributes are going to be part of what that looks like, part of the work of what that Spirit is doing within us. Just like what Mr. Slocum was talking about in terms of that side of the work that he was speaking about. And so this first point, and I've been debating whether to use points because I'm not going to dwell very long on any one point, but this first point is the blessing is to be in the kingdom of God. And so verse 3 talks about this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we understand that being poor in spirit is recognizing your spiritual poverty, where our source is, where you have to go to, and also a fear of God. Sometimes we talk about this in terms of humility. Drop down to verse 8. Verse 8 is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Again, another characteristic, another character trait that God and Christ want to see us develop. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart. You know, I gave a message one time, we talked about Ivory soap. 99.44% pure, right? I didn't look it up before I came here, but as I remember from that message, that particular discovery occurred not far from here. It was somebody getting frustrated with taking a bath in the river, and the soap would fall down into the river and they could never find it again. Ivory soap figured, no, let's make a soap that can float. And so anyway, 99.44%, we're supposed to be 100% pure. 100% pure. And that's part of being in the kingdom, of being able to see God. The third passage here is verses 10 and 11, in terms of this being in the kingdom of God as being a blessing. So let's read verses 10 through 11. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." In other words, if you come upon a trial at some point in your life and you're being persecuted for it, that the trial that we think of perhaps pretty often here in this particular part of the world, in this particular age, is, let's say, a trial over the Sabbath. You're being persecuted over righteousness' sake. You're being persecuted over obeying God. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." So this is the first blessing mentioned here in terms of what Christ was talking about, to be in the kingdom of God. How about the second blessing that Christ mentions? Turn to verse 4. He says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, I've often meditated and thought about, you know, what did Christ mean here in terms of mourn? Mourn for what? You know, I think the part that makes the most sense to me is that we mourn for what's going on in the world around us. You know, the sigh and cry for the abominations that are, you know, occurring in the earth. You know, do we mourn for this way of the world in terms of how it acts and how it responds? And also obviously can mean for life events that occur to us, whether it be the loss of a loved one or something else. But God is saying that if we mourn, better to go to the It says, Christ says, to, I'm not sorry, not Christ, but in Solomon talks about how it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for there your heart is made better. And again, that's probably perhaps what Christ is also talking about here. They shall be comforted. Do we see the comfort of God as a blessing? The comfort from his scriptures, the comfort that we give one another, do we see that as a significant blessing in our life? How about the next verse? Blessed are the meek. Again, hearkening back to humility. Someone who knows their status and perspective from God's point of view. It says, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, do we look at our blessings of this walk of life and the way God has asked us to live, do we view that as an incredible, incredible blessing? The next verse, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Again, these are all attributes in which God's Spirit, as we walk in this life with God, that God leads us to understand and to develop. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do we know how many people in this world that do not understand what God has given us in terms of his understanding and his knowledge? And do we really appreciate how precious that is and what a blessing that is that God gives us? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do we make a point of doing that in our lives and treating that as a very important blessing? Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. You know, we sure want mercy from God, don't we? We sure want mercy from God. We sure appreciate God's mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So we can obtain mercy as a blessing from God when we are merciful. This is one time I'm going to depart and going to add another verse to here. Turn with me to Psalms 32. And we'll come back here to Matthew chapter 5. But turn with me to Psalm 32. I know we appreciate this as an incredible attribute of God, and we rely on it every day in terms of God's mercy. But do we really understand what a blessing that is? We really appreciate that blessing. Psalms 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Again, do you thank God for his mercy and for his forgiveness? Whose sin is covered, where God covers our sin. The penalty, at least the spiritual penalty anyway, is removed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Again, what a blessing it is to have the forgiveness and mercy of God. Going back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Again, Matthew 5, verse 9. I think this one is the, at least for a lot of us anyway, is perhaps the tough one. Matthew 5, verse 9, is this part of God's character and his spirit, as we are led by it, that we have cultivated and are following and are implementing in our lives. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, are you reconciled with everyone? You know, I think for many of us, this can be the crucible where our faith is tried and our love is tested and proven. You know, have we forgiven everyone? You know, we think about this usually most often before Passover. But have we forgiven everyone? Can you honestly say that you hold no grudges? You know, peace is a blessing from God. Peace is a blessing from God. I'm going to take the next half of the message, and I'm going to turn to other scriptures that talk about spiritual blessings and what they are. If you turn with me to Psalm 65, verse 4, the first blessing I want to talk about is our calling. Psalm 65, verse 4. I try to, when I can, go back to the Old Testament when I can find a good passage that relates to the topic. So I find that some people don't make it back there quite as often. This next point is that we are called as first fruits, and what a blessing that it is. I'm going to introduce this with Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man that you choose. And we know that God calls us. God chooses us. Sorry, I lost my place there for a second. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you. You know, God causes us to come to him. He gives us the invitation. He calls us. That he may dwell in your courts. You know, I don't know about you, but every time I think about that, you know, what an incredible blessing it is that God has invited us to dwell in his courts. And we will be satisfied with the goodness of your house. You know, that's our calling, brethren, is to become, to live with God forever in his house. In his house. Of your holy temple. Do we think of that every day as a blessing? I certainly try to. Now turning back to Revelation 19, a couple of very familiar passages, but again, just to help us to remind us and remember how important it is and how blessed we are to be called. Revelation 19 and verse 9. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those, that's you and me, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And of course, we understand that as Christ's bride, if you will. Be part of the first fruits as part of a group of people that will be part of the inner courts, the inner circle, the inner workings of where Jesus Christ works from and where God will eventually come. And to Mary Supper of the Lamb, and he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Just to make sure we understand that it's being emphasized again, these are the true sayings of God. I'll try to talk a little lower. Revelation 20, verse 6, just the next page over. Again, we read this often, but that's okay. Sometimes I think we don't focus on the word blessed quite enough. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. And again, that's all of us who are called now in this age. The second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And of course, we just heard about that at the feast, I'm sure. Many of us in several messages, I'm sure. You were part of the family that God has called from everywhere around this world and throughout this age of man that precedes the return of Jesus Christ. It is a privilege and a blessing. For the next point, how about understanding? Do you feel blessed because of your understanding? Turn with me to Matthew 13, verse 16. Matthew 13, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. How many people in this world, I'll say it again, how many people in this world do not understand this book? And yet you have the privilege of doing that. You are blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Just turn over a few pages to Matthew 16 and verse 17. 16, verse 17. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Why did he tell him this? Because Christ asked a question and Simon answered it correctly, that Jesus was the Christ. Now, come on now, aren't there millions and millions of people who recognize that Jesus is the Christ? Not really. They don't understand who the true Christ is. Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Do we consider it a great blessing, the understanding that God gives us out of his word, from his will, from all these life experiences that we go through? Incredible blessing. Turn to John 20, verse 29 for the next point. Again, each one of these verses could be a whole sermon in its own right. But I wanted to give you an overview of what Scripture talks about in terms of what a blessing is. What the true blessings are, what the spiritual blessings are. John 20 and verse 29. And again, talking about you and me here in this room, because John, Christ here is talking to Thomas, and Thomas was saying before that he wouldn't believe unless he actually put his finger in the places where he had, where Christ had been pierced. And then he did, and then he believed. And then Christ says, well, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. You know, all of us in this room have not seen the life and crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet God has called us, he's given us his understanding and his spirit. And from the words of this book, we're all sitting here and we believe. And that's what Christ is saying. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to all of us. How about Psalm 94 for the next point? Go back to Psalm 94. I'm getting at that age where I have to kind of walk away from something I'm reading to see it more clearly. So sometimes I have to do this. Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord. Now, do we feel blessed when we are corrected? Kind of tough to do sometimes, isn't it? Kind of tough to do. But we understand that why we are blessed is because we understand what we read in Hebrews chapter 12, which I won't turn to, but where God chastens and corrects all of his children. The writer of Hebrews says that if we are not being corrected, then we're illegitimate and not sons. And so we are to consider it a blessing to be corrected by God and go on, O Lord, and teach him out of your law. It's a blessing to be taught out of God's law. Do we consider that a blessing? Consider that a blessing. Another passage, 1 Corinthians 10:16. We read this at Passover, typically. How often do we think, when we partake of the wine, do we focus on that it's a cup of blessing? It's a cup of blessing. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? And this word communion means fellowship, partnership, participant, participation. And so this cup that we take with each other in fellowship, in partnership, in participation, is it not the cup of this concept of the blood of Christ? And so all of us in this room, we partake of what Christ's sacrifice did for us in terms of this cup of the wine that we take, this cup of blessing. You know, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? In other words, we are part of the fellowship, the partnership, if you will, of the body of Christ. How much of a blessing is that? Do you consider the person sitting next to you and everyone here in this room that part of your blessing is that you can be part of that fellowship, if you will, of body of believers? Do we consider each other blessings? The next one, turn with me to Psalm 133. The next one is eternal life. Do we think about what a blessing it is to be given eternal life? Psalm 133, verse 3. Humanly speaking, we like the physical blessings, don't we? We really do. But today I want us to focus on the spiritual blessings. Psalm 133, verse 3. It's talking about unity. We're just talking about the brethren dwelling together in unity. But it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Zion, of course, we understand to be a place in Jerusalem that will be very special to all of us here in this room. Descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. And what is this blessing that God commanded for all of his people? Life evermore. Life evermore. I think what God wants us to do, I'm not quite done yet, but what God wants us to do is to put into context and perspective what these blessings all mean. And which ones are the important ones, and which ones are the nice ones to have. And that's what I think I'm trying to get across today, is which ones are the ones that are truly important. We'll just refer to it in James 1, verse 12, in this topic of eternal life. It says there that blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And that was in James 1, verse 12. That's most of the types of blessings you would find in Scripture. Obviously, there are lots and lots of physical blessings that are mentioned. There's the blessings of those who trust in God, just what the special music was talking to us about here today. But what I want to do now is go through the example of Paul. Just take a few minutes here to look at how he thought of blessings. Ephesians 5, verse 20 doesn't use the word blessing, but Ephesians 5, verse 20 says that Paul was always giving thanks for all things. You know, he was giving thanks for all things regardless of what life dealt him, what kind of trials he was in. You know, Paul considered himself blessed even though he was beaten, even though he was shipwrecked, even though he was stoned, even though he was imprisoned, even though he was hungry, even though he was thirsty, even though he had to go without sleep, and even though he was in dangers. Perils is the word that he uses. And so with that in mind, what I'd like us to do is to turn to Ephesians 1. And we're going to read a good chunk of Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, we're going to start in verse 3. I want you to take note. You're not going to be able to figure it all out right now, but I'm going to emphasize to you what Paul is talking about as blessings. I've underlined them in my notes, in terms of what he saw these blessings to be. Ephesians 1, verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us." That's blessing number one, at least the ones that I've underlined. "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy." That's the second blessing. God has called us to be holy. God is holy. He's called us to be like him and to grow into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we should be holy and without blame. Won't you like to stand before God and Jesus Christ and be without blame? What a blessing that is. Before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons. Again, what a blessing that God has, that he's given us, has offered us to be part of his very family, part of his sons and daughters. "By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." That's the next phrase I underlined. You can go through this exercise yourself and underline what you see as blessings later on. "He made us accepted in Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood," another blessing. "We have the forgiveness of sins," another one. "According to the riches of his grace," another one. "Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence." How about wisdom and prudence? Is that a blessing? Do you consider that a blessing? "Having made known to us the mystery of his will," the understanding that God has given us in terms of what his will is for the world. He has made that known to us. What a blessing. "According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times," in other words, when the time has come, "he might gather together in one all things in Christ." Again, all of us being gathered together at the resurrection at the last trump. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, another blessing. And we understand that our inheritance is the entire universe, joint heirs with Christ, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. We will all be to the praise of the glory of Christ. And in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were seated with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Again, this inheritance that we're going to inherit our eternal life, the power and the glory that God's going to give us, our inheritance with Christ of the universe, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That's Paul's perspective on his blessings. One of several places, but that's a pretty good and pretty comprehensive one there. So I'm going to start to summarize here what we talked about here today. In conclusion, what makes something a blessing? What do you consider a blessing to be? Our perspective on whether we perceive God's blessings is so important. What's our state of mind? How do we perceive blessings? What are we grateful for? What are we thankful for? You know, God's people, it talks about in the faith chapter, have been martyred, they've been homeless, yet they have all been blessed because they have a personal relationship with Almighty God. How much of a blessing do we consider that to be? The promise of eternal life and the fruit of the Spirit. Didn't even go to Galatians 5. But all the fruit of the Spirit that God has promised to us in terms of we follow God and follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. If we seek God's will before all else, then the rest will come later. We know our future. We know we're going to be born into God's family to share in honor and glory. We're going to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The privilege of being a first fruit, all many blessings. Our privilege of being able to serve now and in God's kingdom. Learning God's character, true values. You know, when we understand our true spiritual blessings, we always come from a place of thanksgiving and gratitude for what we have been given. When I said earlier, every second of every day, that's really the point of this message. We are always blessed, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in. In Genesis 1, 26 through 27, just jot it down. I think most of you know what it means. In Genesis 1, 26 through 27, we are told that we were created in the image of God. We are going through the process of taking on God's characteristics, and we are receiving his gifts and his blessings now so that he can bless us even more in his kingdom. Perhaps I'm just going to use another scripture to help illustrate this point in terms of David's perspective. It's perhaps, it may be considered the most widely read passage in scripture. I want to read it today from the standpoint of the most important blessings that we receive, those that we receive from God. Turn with me to Psalm 23. And again, I'm just going to interrupt after about every phrase and just simply ask the question, is it a blessing? Do you consider this a blessing? The Lord is my shepherd. Is that a blessing? I shall not want, because he's my shepherd and your shepherd. We aren't going to want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He feeds us both physically and spiritually. He leads me beside the still waters, perhaps symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We are filled. He restores my soul. There are many times in our lives where we need our soul restored. Being down or discouraged, is that a blessing? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Do we consider that a blessing? I know I'm beating this topic up a bit, but I hope that when a month from now, when you think about your blessings, that you think about the true spiritual blessings. For his name's sake, he leads me to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, there are times in our lives when we walk through dangerous territory, whether it be a trial or whatever it is we're going through. Don't discount the importance of the blessings from God, of being there for you and for me during our darkest times. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, God takes care of us again, both physically and spiritually, even in the middle of a world that has been going in the direction of an absolute hatred of God's way. In the midst of our enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. You know, it's a common expression, right? Is your glass half full or is it half empty? And anyone ever use that expression? David here is saying is that his cup's running over. It's full. He is talking here about being truly and completely blessed. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that, of course, is our ultimate destiny. Our ultimate blessing is to be with God and Jesus Christ forever. So I'll ask the question again that I asked at the beginning. Are you blessed? I hope you can always, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, to answer with an emphatic yes.